Penguin Random House Audio presents Cops and Robbers by Katie Vine from Texas Monthly, April 2015. Read for you by Lydia Mackey. Cops and Robbers. It was all here, in bundles, in baggies, in piles and piles and piles. Mota, coke, black tar, meth, locked away a mere 15 miles from Mexico. Fabian didn't know where it all came from, other than the odd stash house in Mission or San Juan, but he knew well enough where it would have gone. North, shuttled up US 281 to compulsive traders on Wall Street and bored suburban kids in Cleveland and desperate meth heads in Chicago. The marijuana alone could have gotten a few million dollars on the street. It was the last day of November 2012, and just that month, NARC officers had seized 250 pounds of the stuff, plus who knows how many kilos of cocaine. And that was only the guys in the sheriff's department. Never mind all the other agencies down here busting ass. It was hard to say how much the cartels even noticed the losses. But here in Edinburgh, stockpiled in this evidence room for the Hidalgo County Sheriff's Office, was at least some proof of victory. The place was a mess. Claustrophobic, too. No windows, just a musty, fluorescent-lit space that reeked of weed so bad it gave you a headache. Shelves on the wall, metal industrial shelves, held the random assortment of tagged evidence. Rats chewed away at the stuff as it sat, waiting to be destroyed. Organizing this place was grunt work, for sure. But when the request for help came in, Fabian had been happy to comply. He always was. It was why he'd gotten into law enforcement, after all. Service. That and respect. He liked the uniform, the rush of kicking down a door with a search warrant, a traffic stop to nab someone up to no good. It was why he'd worked as a detention officer and then entered the sheriff's academy. It was why he'd worked his way up, impressing the sheriff enough to get promoted to one of the most exclusive narcotics forces on the border, the Panama Unit. Technically, he'd been a member only a month, but he'd been hanging with the guys for so long his time busting narcos with them felt like years. Some of the guys, Sal, Eric, he knew from when they were in the academy together. Mata, too. He'd worked at the county jail. And Jonathan, of course. Everyone knew Jonathan. They were the real thing. A band of brothers, badasses who hauled in the valley's contraband. The cartels might have El Chapo or El Viceroy, the kings of meth and coke, but their street-level lackeys had Panama to contend with. Gulf thugs and Zetas could torture and behead each other in Reynosa all they liked. Here in South Texas, they could get cut off at the knees, so to speak, their roots busted. Fabian had the photos to prove it. The guys posed all the time with the dope they seized, just like in cop shows or Miami Vice. They'd even had a film crew follow them for that show Border Wars. They'd raided a stash house and found 4,000 pounds of weed during one episode. That their work had serious repercussions. A dealer who'd been busted might suddenly go missing or end up in a field with a bullet through the head. Well, that was all part of the job. A guy had to be stupid to get caught like that. Fabian worked for a couple of hours, stacking, sorting, making the randomness less random. A little before noon, his phone rang, the ID flashing, JT, Jonathan Trevino. The unit had had several official supervisors, but everyone knew Jonathan ran the thing. Even the last supervisor had called Jonathan to find out when to show up for work. You did what Jonathan said. You had to. He was the sheriff's son, so there was that. But then the guy was forceful, too. Charismatic. He was only 28, same age as Fabian, but he was loud, cocky, good-looking. That he liked to gamble or had a weakness for certain women just sort of gave him an irresistible edge. On their raids, he was fearless. It was Jonathan who called the shots. Which of the Panama guys went on a bust, which dealers they would flip. Fabian picked up. "Get out here," said the voice on the line. Jonathan was out in the field with Alexis Espinoza, a Mission cop who did work with Homeland Security investigations. He and Jonathan went way back. They'd grown up together. Alexis's dad had worked under the sheriff before being named police chief of Hidalgo. Alexis liked the busts as much as the rest of them, helping the Panama unit out as often as he could. Except now the two of them needed backup. It was urgent, said Jonathan. Fabian needed to meet him at US 281 and Highway 107, follow a woman in a car. She was making a delivery, at least 5 kilos of cocaine. You come out here and help us, he ordered. She thinks we're going to escort her, but when she does the delivery, we're going to raid the house. Fabian nodded. Okay, he said. Then he paused. You never knew with Jonathan. He had to ask. Is this a legit deal? Every place has its contradictions, and in Hidalgo County, where the economy and culture have long been shaped by the Rio Grande, life often presents competing realities. Political pundits may decry the porousness of the border, but the county's 5 international bridges into Mexico bustle daily with the back and forth of maquiladora workers, tourists, and high school students. More U.S. Border Patrol agents and DPS troopers may be crawling the area than ever before, but their numbers are rivaled by the thousands of bird watchers and retirees who come for the tropical geography and friendliness. News outlets may run grim headlines about border crossers, spillover violence, but these are relatively safe cities, booming with retail and healthcare services. Along US 281 and US 83, new strip malls boasting a Cracker Barrel or a Rodizio Grill sit among the palm trees and receding citrus groves. That alternate worlds coexist here is perhaps best reflected in the economies that sustain them. For all the job growth and promise, the $47.5 million plans for a university medical school, the gleaming $206 million wing for Doctors Hospital at Renaissance, the chic McAllen Public Library, the average per capita income in Hidalgo County is only $14,222. And yet, it's impossible not to notice the many Cadillac Escalades and Louis Vuitton purses in the area, which are sometimes distant byproducts of still another concurrent universe. That of the thriving drug trade run by the Gulf Cartel, the Zetas, and local street gangs. The influence of smugglers is diffuse and indirect, but it's undeniable. A popular joke among law enforcement agents is that without the drug trade, half the businesses in the valley would fail. It may not be surprising, then, that over the years there have been some who blurred the lines between these worlds. Hidalgo County Sheriff Brigido, Brig Marmalejo, is remembered in the valley for taking bribes from a drug trafficker, of which he was convicted in 1994. Star County Sheriff Eugenio Jean Falcon and 5 of his jailers were caught taking kickbacks in 1997. Cameron County Sheriff Conrado Cantu, known unofficially as Protect the Load Cantu, was charged with extortion, racketeering, money laundering, and drug trafficking in 2005 and sentenced to 24 years in federal prison after acquiring an RV and a boat and a second family in Matamoros. With examples like these, it may also not be surprising that to be a top lawman in the valley, you are practically required to state, loudly and often, that you are against public corruption. A career in law enforcement is a high-stakes one, and appearances matter. This was certainly the case for Guadalupe Lupe Trevino, who ran for sheriff of Hidalgo County just a year before Cantu's spectacular downfall one county over. A handsome man with silver hair and a mustache, Trevino, then 54, had the charisma and warm demeanor of a kind uncle. He ran in the Democratic primary against the incumbent, Enrique Henry Escalón, an austere, by-the-book type who had restored order after Marmalejo's public disgrace. Unlike Escalón, Trevino was approachable, a man of the people who had raised 3 sons, Carlos, Chris, and Jonathan, in a working-class neighborhood in McAllen. Thanks to his days as an investigator in the district attorney's office, he was also well-connected, a smooth politician who shook hands and slapped backs at Ramos Barbecue, never forgot a name, and was always ready for a news camera. As sheriff, he would secure the border, he promised, and continue the fight against corruption. Though the primary was a tight race, he won the nomination by a mere 1,108 votes. Trevino sailed through the general election unopposed. The department he took over was one of the biggest on the border.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?